My name's Bobby.
And I'm Sarah.
And welcome to BS with Bobby and Sarah.
This is episode 44.
And today, BS is going to stand for, well, Bobby and Sarah, because we're going to be sharing and reviewing our brand new TV show.
I know. I can't believe that it's finally here and out and ready to be viewed.
And actually, by ours, I mean someone else made it and starred in it. And by brand new, I mean it aired in 1984.
I was only 1 year old.
So, yeah, the title of this episode is BS Clickbait, but hey, at least I'm upfront about it within like the first 20 seconds. I mean, that's got to count for something, right?
Exactly. If someone was really disappointed with that, they could just, you know, click away, watch something else, listen to another podcast. But you know you're intrigued. You want to know what this is going to be about.
If someone was disappointed by that, well, then that's their first time listening to the show, because being disappointed is the name of the game for the show.
That's why we're here.
Later on in the game portion of the show, we're going to be playing some trivia that continues the theme of TV and Bobby and Sarah. So if you don't care about TV or aren't knowledgeable, don't worry. There's still some fun in the questions. And honestly, you'll probably still beat Sarah's score. So
rude. I'm great at TV.
So basically today we're just going to be getting a little narcissistic, a little BS borderline selfish, if you will.
Okay.
First up, let's get into that TV show titled Bobby and Sarah. It's actually an episode of an anthology of TV specials from an NBC show called Special Treat. So basically, it's an after-school special. It had 9 seasons, 60 episodes.
Whoa.
And I don't know if this was a sign of the quality of the episode that we watched, but there were only 5 or 6 more after the one we watched aired. So maybe that was a warning sign that quality was dipping.
It was on its way down.
But I first stumbled across this way back when I found that bluegrass song by Rhonda Vincent called Bobby and Sarah.
Which I absolutely love still.
Yeah, it's actually really good. I recommend everyone check it out. Even if you don't like bluegrass, it's just fun. Tells a story. But this video was recommended because it has the exact same name, Bobby and Sarah.
Yeah.
So first off, Sarah.
Yes, Bobby?
The quality of this video. Like, terrifying. It looks like Samara made it down in the well from the ring. I mean, this episode aired in 1984, but because it was a junk copy of a VHS someone uploaded to YouTube, it looks like it aired in 1952 in like Soviet Turkmenistan or something.
Right? Yeah.
It was crazy.
It was so grainy. I was like, is this my computer? Is my internet not fast right now? What's going on? It kind of looked like when you're trying to watch Showtime when you're like 13 years old and you've got to watch through all like the big grains and try to see if like, is that a face? Is that a tree? What is that?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was like scrambled porn.
Yeah.
But this show is a classic tale of a bad boy newcomer who meets like a good conservative girl, which I think that reflects our own story, Sarah. I mean,
it does. Obviously, right?
I'm the bad boy and you're like the goody two shoes.
Yep. I am way Amish.
Their worlds collide. The parents disapprove, but Bobby and Sarah learn from each other. So in the beginning, angry, angsty young teenager from New York named Bobby moves with his mom to Amish Town, USA.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of plot holes in this episode, and they jump around a lot. Like, the editing isn't great. It's an after-school specials for, like, kids.
Yeah, I honestly thought at first it was a student film. I really did.
It was pretty bad. So after Bobby moves to the town, we're introduced to Sarah, who's being driven to school by her father in a horse and buggy. Because,
I was
going to
say driven, excuse me?
They are Amish. Like, she's full-blown Amish.
Yep, got the little bonnet. And of course, their last name is Yoder, because every single movie I've seen with an Amish person, the last name's Yoder.
This was a really weird moment. Sarah, do you remember there's a discussion between Sarah and her dad, like she wants to get dropped off far away from school?
Yes.
I guess she's starting to get to that age where she's embarrassed by her father.
Yep.
The father says something that kind of made me cringe.
Okay, so it wasn't just me.
Okay, do you remember what he said to his daughter?
You used to call me Papa or something like that. Was it that one?
It's that quote, but it's, you used to call me Poppy, remember?
There we go. Yeah, but the way he said it was like, oh.
With his, Pennsylvania Dutch Amish accent, it's like, Poppy.
Which it would come and go throughout the film.
Yeah, the accents were horrible. I think the dad, it was kind of, you know, supposed to show how she's grown up.
Mm-hmm.
And being like, oh, you're no longer my little girl. But in the 30 years since this aired, you know, calling me Poppy has taken on a different meaning. So that was a little creepy.
Yeah. And then later in the film, when the other guy, the main guy, what was his name? Bobby. Oh, duh. Jesus. Wow. Yeah. So Bobby was talking to his mom at the diner. And just like how close the mom was to his face was also like, what is going on? Did they not have enough like range on the screen? What's happening here? Because it gave me, again, those weird vibes.
That was definitely a choice. This girl's growing up. She's no longer daddy's little girl. Also, nope. Bobby is supposed to be a high school. He looks about 28. I just got to get that out of the way.
I couldn't really tell. He didn't look 18. That's for sure. But I couldn't tell if he looked any older. All I was just like, oh, he's cute.
So Bobby's new at school. He meets Sarah. He's trying to get to know her because he's like never met an Amish girl.
Mm-hmm. So he was very curious.
He keeps trying to get with Sarah. Sarah gets disapproving looks from those bonnet wearing girlies, those mm-hmm. Amish snitches.
They're just jealous.
They're catching wind of their discussions everywhere. And, you know, at the school, it was only Amish girls in their long dresses and bonnets. Like, I never saw any boys in their suspenders and straw hats. So,
then what,
like, do Amish boys stop going to school after eighth grade and skip to, skip high school to work on the farms?
Yeah, they go to a separate school where they learn how to be misogynistic.
Are they, though?
I saw them, like, in one of the scenes, there were two girls walking away, and they were the Amish, two Amish girls, and there were two guys, one on each side. So I'm assuming since they're like the uppity, like, oh, I can't believe Sarah's talking to a non-Amish person. I'm assuming those were the boys.
Okay. Well, you know what? I would ask the Amish to write in and let us know, but obviously they can't use electricity to find this podcast. So
maybe if they sneak away and listen, because they're addicted to BS.
Bobby and Sarah, they're, you know, starting to get friendly with each other. But I do want to talk about the adult accents all over the place.
Okay, yep.
The dad sounded as if he was the Swedish chef from the Muppets, but he was like German for some reason. And the mom sounded slightly Irish sometimes.
It was very unidentified accents.
And I mean, I actually pulled a clip and tell me this isn't Irish or something.
Paul, don't tease.
Paul, don't tease.
It's not funny.
I mean, that's Leprechaun, right?
that's very, very Irish. It's like they couldn't nail it. They couldn't decide what, like, did they even listen to Amish people?
And this just harkens back to, this could have been a student film project.
Yeah, I wonder. And then they just like would take whatever back in the day.
Well, Sarah did not have, you know, the old style Amish accent. She was just, you know, a proper Amish girl, but she wants to go to the football game. So mm-hmm. she gets accompanied by her little brother.
Oh my God.
Do you remember what, like, she tries to sneak away and her brother's like, where are you going? Do you remember what Sarah mm-hmm. responds to him?
With? She said, a place you can't go.
Which
I just thought was like the bathroom.
I thought that was the dumbest answer because 12-year-old me, if I heard that, I'd be like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Forbidden location, I'm like 1,000 times more interested now, and I'm obviously going to follow you.
More curious, which, he didn't. He didn't. He waited like a good little boy, and it started raining. This poor little kid has been like abandoned on the bleachers in the middle of a football game, which he didn't really want to go to anyway, and then it starts pouring rain, and he's just sitting there.
Well, where did Sarah go off to?
To make out. Well, actually, no, she didn't go to make out. She went to meet Bobby under the bleachers, and she gets caught by the brother, like just about when they're gonna kiss.
No, they do kiss.
They do? I don't remember that part.
Yeah, I went back and rewound it to just double check.
Oh, okay, okay. Sure.
But don't forget about the graininess. Fact that under the bleachers, it starts mm-hmm. to rain, so you have the trope of a couple kissing just as it starts to rain.
Of course, they had to fit that in. It's classic romance.
But also, Sarah just ditching her poor little brother to get some, you know,
exactly some action. That part was that she's definitely I don't know any Amish person that would have done that.
Well, the younger brother blackmails Sarah in the most boring way ever heard of any blackmail.
I wrote down new coat blackmail. LOL, the most innocent blackmail I've ever heard.
Yeah, the son announces to his parents, oh, Sarah's going to make me a new coat and be nice to me. And mm-hmm. everyone's like,
what does that mean?
Good girl. But
yeah, the dad asks, what does that mean?
Then, not even getting caught, does it stop the absolute sleut that Sarah is when she meets Bobby in an old abandoned mill.
Ooh, yeah.
There were a couple of waterfalls. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one was outside that powered the mill.
Yeah.
And the other one was in her pants because she's kissing up on Bobby again.
Guess which one provided electricity?
Sparks galore. And then after those sparks, comical slow motion frolicking in the forest.
Which, by the way, I did make a note that it was great foliage. Those beautiful big yellow trees were glorious.
I mean, if you have to show young love frolicking in the forest, mm-hmm. do it in the autumn because it looks great, the colors.
Absolutely. Incredible. Even if the acting is shite, then at least the images will be pretty.
And speaking of shite acting, Bobby's mom, was she an alcoholic or was she just like a sad, spazzy woman? Because I couldn't tell because of the quality if she was drinking beer or like Pepsi.
I don't think it was alcoholism. She was just like a serial dater. Like she would date a guy and like move to wherever that person was and then keep doing that all over like several times. Because that was something that Bobby was just sick of. And he made that very clear that he didn't want to move again, that they'd been to so many places. And just because she broke up with the boyfriend didn't mean that they had to move again and all this other stuff.
And yep, guess what happens? As soon as Bobby and Sarah start to fall for each other, the mom has a falling out with this new boyfriend and she wants to move on again.
Yep.
So obviously Bobby's upset. And
then he's like, no, I just got with this girl, with this Amish girl.
Hard cut again. Sarah gets caught sneaking around with Bobby.
Yep.
So she's pulled from school.
This is the time where she gets caught like, and they're kind of like in their barn area, right? Because she walks out and she doesn't even have her bonnet anymore. And it's like,
I can't even keep track of how many times they get caught.
They're bad at being
horrible
sneaky.
Horrible at being sneaky. Yeah, they get caught literally every time by everyone, everywhere they go.
Yeah, that's true. Under the bleachers and on one of their walks.
It's ridiculous. I can't even keep track. But I guess, you know.
I can't blame her. She's Amish. I don't think she's ever done anything sneaky like this in her past.
No.
So this is her first time being sneaky. And it's not working out for her real well.
So then she gets upset with her dad. Her being seen with a non-Amish boy is going to get her shunned from the community. The dad gets so angry.
The dad at one point says, we're not a part of that world, you know, Bobby's world. Oh, there was a show called Bobby's World.
That's actually going to come up in the game.
Sweet. All right.
The dad gets angry. He catches them. He tries to tear them away. He's being super strict. And that's when Bobby's mom steps in. And like, what are her words of wisdom? She has like that one scene.
Right before that, looking at this from a therapist's point of view.
Which you're not.
Stop
I think
it.
I need to
Don't
clarify
tell
which you're not,
that.
But
no, we can just do a little like star and disclaimer in the notes. No one has to know like right here. Anyway, okay, so Bobby told the mom right before this scene that she needed to address why she kept running away from places or like why she kept wanting to move, and he's like, maybe the problem isn't the place. As in like, oh, you know, like you're the problem. You figure out what's wrong with you, why you want to keep leaving. And so when the dad comes looking for the girl thinking that she ran away to be with Bobby at that house, like he like smashes him against the wall. And the mom steps in like all mama bear be like, uh-uh. And then he's like, I'm not a violent man. And, and that's when she tells him like, you know, oh, when you hold on like too tight, then that's why she ran away because her dad was the same.
That's how Bobby's mom ran away.
Uh-huh.
And she's been running from her problems ever since.
Yeah, exactly. So she dropped a truth bomb and I think it was just hitting her, you know, all of the, whatchamacallit, like the reason for the trauma.
And this is where the after school special, you learn your lesson.
Mm-hmm. The moral, yeah.
The moral of the story. Bobby's mom tells Sarah's dad, basically, parents pushing too hard is just going to push that child away. Daddies need to let their little girls go or else they're going to break away forever. And the mom says and realizes, like, you can't run away from your problems. It don't change anything.
They're going to follow you wherever you go because it's in your head.
And then everything gets wrapped up between Sarah and her father in like the last 40 seconds of the show.
Yeah, it was real quick.
And then Bobby wanders off and show. That's it.
No, they end up together. They show them frolicking in the forest again.
That was a recap of from before. I feel like it was the same exact clips of before.
Oh, see, in my mind, I saw it all as like a happy ending because it was like the cycle was broken. It wasn't perpetuated where now Sarah runs away because like she made up with her dad. And by the way, I did cry a little bit because being a daddy's girl, that kind of hurt me a little bit. It didn't hurt me. It was like, oh, just because I've felt that kind of separation between my dad and I, you know, after, I don't know, at a certain point, it just... it's not the same, you know, anymore. So I was touched by that.
Oh, well, this ended on a sad note.
No, it didn't. It didn't. It didn't. Okay. Because...
still a garbage show. Yeah, garbage
still
show.
Still garbage. Entertaining garbage. I love it. But yeah, they got back together. At least that's how I saw it. So like she didn't run away. So the wisdom from the mom, you know, helped them not keep creating people who are hurt and keep running away. And thus, since she stayed with the Amish people, like she still kind of kept seeing him because it was like the dad was letting go and letting it be okay that it wasn't. That's how I saw it. But well, I mean, I guess it could be recapped because then the title, that's when the credits were rolling, right?
Yeah. My take is it seemed to be the exact same scenes. Once again, they're frolicking in the same woods, but also no one watches the credits, so you can't put important information about the show in the credits and expect it to be seen.
Okay, I'm very valid for people who know what they're doing. Again, we've established that these writers and producers did not really know what they were doing.
Well, you know, and we didn't know anything going into this show. And so in the beginning, I thought it was going to, from the first few minutes, I thought it was going to be, you know, two people from different worlds learning about each other's cultures. I didn't know it was going to be a love story.
Oh, I smelled that like a mile away.
Yeah.
As soon as there was like they introduced Bobby and then they introduced the girl. I'm like, yep, they're going to meet, going to fall in love. I didn't know where it would go after that. Oh my God. But
an after school special in the 80s, it could have been about marijuana.
Drugs. Yeah. Drugs.
But I will say in the context of an after school special for children and one from the 80s, I will still only give this episode of TV 2 out of 5 horses attached to a buggy.
2 out of 5 horses. Okay, I would probably give it, because of how the ending, it was really, well, see, what are we taking into consideration? Just the moral of it?
Whatever
of it,
you want.
Or the whole, okay, in that case, 2.5. 2.5 horses attached to buggies.
Do you remember back at college, the Walmart near us had a hitching post because the university we went to, it was in a rural area.
Absolutely.
But there were also Amish amidst the cornlands.
Mm-hmm. I do remember. It was the funniest thing I'd seen because I was like, we pulled up and there was just a horse and a buggy tied to a lamppost. And I was like, okay, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen because I did not know there were Amish people living around there.
You had mentioned earlier how the title of the actress was in the title of the video.
Yeah, and for the longest time, I thought it was like the actual girl, but it's not.
Betty Buckley. Bobby's mom is played by Betty Buckley. And for those of you that don't recognize the name, she's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I was reading up on her after the movie, and I actually started listening to some of her songs.
Yeah, she's a famous actress and singer. She won a Tony in 1983 playing Grisabella in Cats.
Yeah, and Grammys too, right? She won some Grammys.
She's an EGOT nominee. She was nominated for an Emmy, nominated for Grammys. She won the Tony, and well, the O doesn't stand for Oscar. You caught me. It stands for an Olivier, which is like a Best Theater in London award. So she's an EGOT, but not the kind you think.
I mean, it's still kind of cool. I think it's like a version of the EGOT.
And the Emmy that she was nominated for was this program, Sarah.
No.
She had like 4 total minutes tops in this scene. And for the most part, I thought she was an alcoholic, which, so do you think she, I do have to clarify, it was a daytime Emmy nomination. I don't know if that changes your opinion, but do you think she should have been nominated for this?
No.
No, absolutely not.
Based on that film, on that episode?
Yeah, because that's how it works. You got to get nominated for a certain project.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I guess it's got to be kind of easy to get an Emmy nomination. Like, it's going to be my goal to win an Emmy.
Oh, I was going
to
say.
Remember that one time we went to a bar and your brother-in-law's sister was there?
Yes.
And I brought up the fact that I wanted to win an Emmy and she's like, oh, I have one.
Yeah, yep. And like, she was what, like 20, 21 maybe when she got it?
I was like,
because she was working with PBS.
I was going to say it was for news or some garbage or whatever.
Yeah, I felt very like, I didn't even really try and think about it too much because I knew I'd be really jealous and pissed and be like, what is it going to take for me to win an award, a major award?
Well, you know what? This episode of Bobby and Sarah, this after school special, you did say how it seemed like a film project. And I feel like we absolutely could have written something better. Or
yeah,
even rewritten this show to be much better. But that leads me into what I wanted to talk about next time, which is, you know, things we have written. Like, I've written stuff. I've written scripts as a hobby.
You have, and I actually really, really like them. I would want to watch
that. The first one I remember was writing a spec script for Cougar Town.
Yep.
Horribly named comedy. Really funny show, though.
Yeah, I love that they even make fun of that themselves in the show.
I remember we actually binged that one day at your parents' house on New Year's Day because I was so hungover. Like, I couldn't even drive until 4 p.m.
And the sad part about that is that I never know when you're actually drunk. So it's like I missed drunk Bobby, you know, I completely missed it. You just like went from regular Bobby to the next day hungover Bobby.
Yeah. Well, I think watching, I don't know, 8 or 9 straight episodes that day, it was what created that spark for me to write my own script. And the only thing I remember, I still have it somewhere on my computer, but the only thing I remember about the script, I made a joke about my blood type and my motto both being be positive.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a hokey joke. But the only reason I remember that is because a season or two later in the show, they said the exact same thing.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember you like you texted me and you were like, I did that. And I thought that you actually had sent it in, but no, you didn't. They just stole your...
I was shocked. I was going to sue, but you know what? That wouldn't be very be positive of me, so I didn't.
I would not have been. Those would be very negative vibes. Bad vibes.
So what writing have you done for television, even as your own hobby?
I did write something for this project that we were working on just as, you know, friends wanting to put something together was... for that film Reborn that you were in for a brief moment too.
Was it a film or a TV show?
It was, it kept switching.
That's
at first
thing.
It was
that's
supposed
right.
to be a TV show, which it would have given more time for developing characters and all that stuff. And I actually wrote one of the scenes and I got to direct that one too, which was really fun.
Yeah. I remember this independent TV show that we both worked on, that I got fired from after writing all the audition sides and about 30 pages of the script.
Oh my goodness, Bobby. I still feel terrible about that because I really wanted to see those scenes that you created play out. I thought they were really good.
Thank you. It's the only job I've ever been fired from, and it wasn't because of the content. And you know what? I can't even say that it was a job because there was no pay.
Nope. So, for anyone.
And I actually dug through my email and went way back to 2011 just to get myself fired up and annoyed all over again.
You're so good at that.
Basically, this project had become a production and using the resources and tools and cameras and everything of like a college.
Yeah.
And so because I wasn't a student.
But neither was I.
I know this is exactly what I was trying to get at. She's like, can't use your content in the show and can't keep you on anymore. I hope this does not disappoint you too much. I encourage you to pursue your creative abilities in the future and I wish you much success. That's from like the creator of this program. And I'm like, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I do have success. 10 years later, I have a podcast with double-digit listeners, none of which reach out to me on Instagram or Twitter. So yeah, I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
Take that.
I think my ideas were too good. And the director, the creative EP, like, she was threatened by my intelligence.
I promise I'm not trying to blow smoke up your ass or anything up your ass, but I...
We know I don't need it. I don't need a bigger head.
There's no room for air. But yeah, I definitely think that's what it was. it was really good. And I think she had a whole other vision that she just like did not have time to even think of this other way to go with it.
And honestly, I thought we were like doing the same thing.
Yeah. That's what I thought. It was so good. I'm like, yeah, let's do that. But then it went from going to be a TV show, then it's going to be a movie. No, it's going to be a TV show, then it's going to be a movie. It's going to be about this. No, it's going to be about this. And that's why everyone started just leaving the project, because it was too much and no one was taken into consideration. It was just like it had to be the way that she wanted it. Otherwise, it wasn't good. And a lot of people
left.
Yeah.
Let's just say this was never going to be winning any nominations for an Emmy.
No, not an Emmy.
Like, I knew it was going the wrong direction from the first email, because she was really focused on picking the name for the program. Mm. And I responded, we don't even have a script written yet or the first episode. Why do you want to take a vote on what you're calling this project? And she replies back, why do you think we should wait? I'm like, oh, well. In typical BS, Bobby Sass, Bobby Sass, I only... To that long email, she's like, basically, I'm ditching you. I only responded with the letter K. Okay. Like, okay, I spent 3 months writing, taking meetings, doing auditions, and now I'm leaving.
And you
kicked out on very sus terms. Okay. You're dead to me.
You're dead.
Throwback to our last episode, number 43. You're dead to me.
You're dead to me. Yeah. And you were driving really far for this, too.
Like over an hour just for meetings and everything.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm gonna run my own show next time.
If you do, let me in on this project.
I'm gonna be one of those really annoying people where at the end of the show you see like created by, written by, directed by, executive producer, and it's all the same guy, and you're like, okay, come on, get over yourself. That's gonna be
Bobby,
me,
Bobby. I've been on projects like that. It does feel really weird. Like even though you're proud of like being a big part of the project, but it just feels so weird and awkward to see your name over and over and over, and like, and it's like, why don't we just put the name and then under that do all the jobs that they did?
It's like, oh, are you getting, you know, 4 or 5 different checks, or is it all a bundle deal? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, well, I've been paid for one of the projects, and I was actually really happy about that for Lights. I wasn't even supposed to be on that show. I was just on there as like a PA. And then the guy who was supposed to be the lead, he didn't show up. And they're like, well, do you want the role? And I was like,
okay, well, as you bring this up, I already know you're going to be getting at least 1 point in the game, because one of the questions in today's game is related to that. So why don't we just go ahead and jump into the game?
Okay.
Well, let's continue talking about ourselves and TV, because today we have five-ish questions, all related to television programs, Bobby and Sarah's. All right?
Okay. Yeah.
First question. Famously, young boys in cartoons are often voiced by women. In The Simpsons, Bart and Milhouse, both voiced by women. Ash from Pokemon has always been voiced by women. Tommy Pickles from Rugrats and Jimmy Neutron, women. Women voice actors.
No.
Yeah. So, a famous Bobby Hill from King of the Hill was also voiced by a woman.
He sounds so like a boy.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen the show, he's got a very gravelly voice. I mean, that's probably
very
horrible.
Very specific.
It was a really horrible job, but I don't want 20th Century Fox to come after me if I play his voice. So.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. They would be listening to this because we're awesome. I'm going to say no. I think it was a dude just because it's very boyish. I can't picture a woman doing that voice. I just can't.
Okay.
Not that they can't.
All right. So locked in.
Yeah. Locked in.
You think it's false.
Going to go with a no.
But
false.
Now that you've locked in, could you imagine a woman doing Bart Simpson's voice?
No, I still can't picture it.
It's true. Bobby Hill from King of the Hill was voiced by a woman. Oh, her name's Pamela Adlon. She won an Emmy for that.
Oh my God. I don't even know what to feel. An Emmy?
She won an Emmy.
For voiceovers?
Emmys again. All right.
You know, I don't have such a high-pitched voice. I think maybe I should try this voiceover stuff.
Why not?
For boys.
Well, it's not her voice, though. Like, she definitely puts on a voice.
Right.
So why don't you try a boy's voice right now? Boy voice.
Okay. All right. Imagine a cartoon. It'll be a redhead boy.
Okay.
And
about 10 years old.
He's about 10. Okay. Hey, Dad.
Yes, son.
You want to go play baseball in the yard with the dog? He'll play first.
How's the dog going to play baseball, son? He can't swing a bat.
He has a mouth. Nobody can catch a ball.
That's called fetch, you dumbass.
Oh, Daddy, no.
I hate you, son. I'm leaving. I never loved you or your mother anyway.
I'm telling Mom on you, and she's going to divorce you and take all of your clothes.
You're starting to sound like the old grandpa from Family Guy.
Yes! I could do it, though.
Back to the quiz. Earlier, you mentioned Bobby's World, which is an early 1990s cartoon that...
It was awesome.
Bobby's World followed the daily life of a six-year-old boy with a very imaginative, overactive imagination. And it just was how he saw the world.
I really liked it.
As a kid, I was young when I saw that cartoon. I thought he looked like me.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically just meant white kid, dark brown eyes, dark brown hair. I was like, oh, that's me. But back to the question, true or false, Bobby from Bobby's World was voiced by a woman.
Oh, man. Let's see. Well, I guess The Simpsons are very old, so I can't bring up the whole, like, well, that's a really old show. They probably did use guys. That logic does not play out. I'm going to say it was a girl then. No, I feel this is a trick question. It was a boy.
I have absolutely no idea what Bobby's voice even sounded like, so I couldn't tell
you. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember it. I just remember his face and, like, the intro song, kind of.
So you think it's false? Bobby from Bobby's World was not voiced by a woman.
Correct.
You're correct. That was Howie Mandel.
Ah, really?
Bobby's World was Howie Mandel's, like, project.
Wow. Well, there you go. I learned something.
But also related to Bobby's World, the next question. In this cartoon, what was Bobby's last name? We have five options. Was it Bobby Baccalieri, Bobby Generic, Bobby Robertson, Bobby Lee, or Bobby Lookinland? What was the last name of that little boy's cartoon character?
I think it's Bobby Robertson. That just sounds way... Bobby.
It sounds very cartoony, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
No, I'm sorry, you're wrong. I made up Robertson.
No!
Bobby Baccalieri, that's a Sopranos character.
Sounds very mobbish.
Bobby Lee is an actor and comedian.
That's why it sounded familiar.
And Mike Lookinland, he played Bobby Brady, which means in this cartoon, Bobby's last name was Generic, which is spelled generic. His name was Bobby Generic. This made me so angry. I'm like, even for a kid's show, that's dumb as hell. But I guess it's supposed to be the juxtaposition of a very overactive imagination from, like, a normie generic child.
Ooh, okay. See, they thought it through. They did.
Did they, though?
Juxtaposition.
I guess they could have named it, like, Bobby Normal or Bobby Boring. I would have liked that better because it was alliteration.
Bobby Boring. Bobby Plain.
That's what I tell myself in the mirror every day. Everyone whispers affirmation to themselves. I stare at myself and be like, Bobby Boring, Bobby Normal, Bobby Plain. And that's my self-love.
Bobby Simple. Bobby Normal.
Next question. Let's move on to Sarah's. We've done some Bobbies. Let's go to Sarah's.
Yay.
Sarah Paulson. Actress. Mm-hmm. I know her from American Horror Story.
I like her.
It has 10 seasons, you know, each being a self-contained mini-series. Sarah, my co-host, please. Not Sarah Paulson. She's not on the other line. Sarah, my co-host.
Oh, that'd be so cool. Yes.
You will get a point for every American Horror Story season title you can list because
in
10 seasons,
man.
They all have a little subtitle.
Oh, you know I don't watch these.
I know, neither do I. So also, I will give you a point if you be creative and come up with a season title that I would enjoy or want to watch.
Well, I know I've seen previews for them because my dad used to watch them. Okay, so I know there's one with nuns, convent. There's one with clowns, circus. Oh, Freak Show. I think that one was called Freak Show.
That's correct. Okay, that's one point.
There's one with a hotel.
Okay. I'm just going to give that to you. Correct. It's just called a hotel.
Oh, nice. Okay. The Asylum.
Yep, that's the second season, Asylum.
The one with, there was one with witches and nuns, but I don't know if there's two, if those are two separate ones.
You actually almost said it earlier. You said convent. What would be a, what would be a convent for witches?
Oh, ooh, like a missionary place.
No, more just like a group, like a house and a group of witches.
I can feel the word in my brain. Kind of like in The Craft, they were a coven.
Yeah, you got it.
Coven.
All right, so that's 4 out of 10, and I think you're running on fumes. So give me at least one title of an American Horror Story that you think would, you know, pique my interest. I'd have to tune into it just by hearing the name.
Forbidden Animals.
Okay, I'm not going to give you a point for that.
No, you wouldn't watch that?
Forbidden Animals?
Yeah, but they're like, they make science with them and they turn them into different kind of animals, like mutated animals. And then
so
they,
what about like American Horror Story Mutation?
Ooh, yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah.
Would you watch that?
Yeah, because I came up with it. I got to support myself. I got to support my own ideas here. Okay. So you ended up getting 4 points out of that. So here they are in order. American Horror Story, okay. I think the first one was just called that, but then they went back and renamed it Murder House.
Oh, okay.
So it went Murder House, Asylum, Coven, Freak Show, Hotel, Roanoke, Cult, Apocalypse, 1984, and most recently, season number 10 was Double Feature.
Whoa, okay, yeah, I have not heard of like the last four of those.
But now getting back to that Sarah Paulson, for 5 points, how many seasons has Sarah Paulson appeared in American Horror Story?
I'm going to say 6.
She has been working because she has appeared in 9 out of 10.
Oh, shit. Wow. Was it just the first one she hasn't been in?
No, apparently she was in that. She was not in 1984, which was the ninth season. Ooh. And I don't know why, and I didn't really care to look up.
Maybe she got pregnant. Tired. Needed a break.
Also, just another throwaway comment. She has an Emmy. She's won an Emmy. So
cool. I could see that. She's very good. And I've seen her in a bunch of other movies, too. Because I'm always like, oh, that's the lady from American Horror Story. Even though I've seen her in stuff before that.
Next question. Moving on to another famous Sarah of television, Sarah Silverman. And her eponymous Sarah Silverman program. Sometimes raunchy, sometimes controversial, but always absurdist.
Yes.
Which of the following is not a title and a description of an episode from the Sarah Silverman program?
Okay.
First one, fetus, don't fail me now. Sarah is oblivious to the fact that she's 9 months pregnant and has just been assuming she's been bloated.
Oh my God.
Number two, maid to boarder. Sarah fires her maid, Dora, believing she's stolen from her. When her life falls into filth, Sarah goes to Mexico to get her maid back, only to learn Dora's gained unexpected power as a mayor in Mexico. Number three, orange juice, J-E-W-S, orange juice.
Oh, okay.
Sarah and her sister paint themselves orange and dress up as Oompa Loompas in an attempt to make easy money on Hollywood Avenue after losing all their rent money betting on cockfights down at the local gay bar.
Oh my God.
Or number four.
I would watch that.
The proof is in the penis. In an attempt to get her to man up, Sarah's sister falsely informed Sarah that she was born with both a penis and a vagina. Which of those was not real?
Okay.
That means,
oh my goodness,
three of them were.
I'm... Now I'm very excited to watch the show because I've seen it pop up, but I'm like, okay, now I want to watch it. I'm going to say, I think it's going to be either the maid to boarder or orange juice.
Okay.
Okay. Man, they're both so redonkulous. Orange juice. I'm going to go with that one.
You think that is fake? That did not happen.
Yes, I think so.
You sussed it out. I created that.
That was some good sussing, Sarah.
Nice
All
job.
Right.
I honestly thought that some of these were so ridiculous that you were not going to get it.
Oh, beyond. You know what? I I thought through about, like, if they were going to do that, they have to have, like, permits when they're doing any kind of characters on in Hollywood, like Hollywood Boulevard. And I was like, I don't know if they would spend money on that.
Whatever the reasoning, you got there, girlfriend.
Okay, that means that those other ones are actual episodes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'd just like to point out, Sarah Silverman has won 2 Emmys.
Oh, cool. That's cool. That girl is crazy, but I love her. She's got some good stuff.
All right, next question. I wanted to do a question about, like, the top-ranked Bobby and the top-ranked Sarah on IMDb.
Okay.
But I think to get those rankings, you need a pro account. And I'm sorry to everyone listening, but y'all are not worth it, okay?
No.
So instead, Sarah, you have an IMDb page.
I do, and I haven't worked on any of the stuff.
I was going to say, you probably crafted it yourself. So tell me, how many credits do you have as an actress? And this is very obviously not for the listeners to play along. So give us the elevator pitch for each one of those projects. Remember, you'll get a point for each one you can name. You probably haven't been on it in 7 years. Haven't added those credits.
Nope, have not at all. Okay.
As an actress.
In that case, Lights.
Okay, you already mentioned that. Give us the elevator pitch.
Oh, that is about a girl who starts noticing that the lights when on the streets start to go off anytime she's near them. And then they just go off. And there's something spooky behind it.
Something sinister is happening with the lights.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so she tries to document it, and it just follows her more.
And you played the character Mia.
Correct.
All right, that's 1 point. Next acting credit, if you can remember.
303, I believe. And that is a very short film.
Another point.
It's actually only 3 minutes and 3 seconds long.
Oh, perfect.
And it's about a girl in her apartment who, so she like wakes up from like a nightmare and then like goes to check the door.
Give away the whole plot. Just the elevator pitch.
Okay, sorry. Okay, something weird is happening with this girl in her dreams.
And it usually happens at 3:03 at night. So that also plays into the title. Yeah, I've seen it. I'm a good friend. I know.
Aw, thank you, Bobby.
Do you know?
Thank you for committing 3 minutes and 3 seconds of your life.
It was a big ask. Do you remember the character's name?
Oh, shit. No, I don't. No, because there was like no. Yeah, there were no.
Yeah.
Rachel?
No, it was just literally just woman.
I play woman.
You might have had a lot of other things, you know, casting, directing, production assistant, but you only have one other credit as an actress.
Was it MS and Me?
Were you in that? Oh, that's right. You were because you and...
I played a bitch, but like I didn't have like any lines. Oh, no, I did have a line.
I think you've been method acting that your entire life.
Oh!
I'm just kidding. No, that was not it.
No, I can be.
You have one last try.
Jesus. It's not like I've done much. Seguridad Insegura?
Were you an actor in that?
Yeah, that one I definitely didn't have any lines.
Well then, no, you're probably not going to put that down if you didn't have any lines. It's basically an extra, Sarah.
Okay.
The last acting credit you have is Dissolved, A Game of Truth.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And do you remember that role that you played? Because I would like to make a correction to it.
I don't remember doing a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. And then what the hell role did I play in that?
Your role, as it says on your own IMDb, is mailman, which I would like to correct right now. Mailwoman.
That's right. I remember that.
Mail carriers can also be women, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. They can't. Well, I didn't write it.
Someone else is editing your IMDb page. You need to get on top of that.
I should, because I didn't even know other people could edit it. I mean, I'm assuming
that's what that pro account's for.
The ones who put it.
Pro accounts can do a bunch of stuff like that.
Dang.
All right.
Dang.
And so we have your 3 acting credits now because Bratty Bobby is a shit stirrer. I will give you 10 points for saying which was the most garbage or worst one to work on.
Ooh, hands down, Dissolved.
Okay. And don't worry, you can spill all the tea because they're obviously not listening. Why was it so bad?
The director slash producer slash the person who created it was an absolute nightmare to work with. He was late to everything, everything. It, like, not just like 15 minutes late, but like hours and hours late to all his projects.
So now you know how it feels.
Oh, Bobby!
For the listeners, Sarah's notoriously late.
I am like, I'm blushing right now because I do. I feel bad. Because
you've been called out. It got hot in here, didn't
it? Yeah, yeah. But it's usually like 20, 15 minutes, 10 minutes late.
Listen to her.
Listen
to her try and justify being late. It's like, oh, it's 20 minutes. It's not that bad. That is an entire episode of 30 Rock.
Oh, those are so good.
But I will say you were on time today. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, I tried.
Last question. Which actors would you cast to play us in a TV show about us? Whether it's our lives, this podcast, and it could either be a spot-on lookalike or who you'd want to represent us.
Okay. Oh, this is awesome. Yes.
Sarah, while you think, I'll tell the listeners, if you don't know what we look like, go ahead and peep our Instagram at BS with BS Podcast. You're going to see Sarah looking badass on a motorcycle and then me with a gut swinging my Hornussen whip, if you know what I mean. And if you don't know what I mean, that is a throwback to episode 20. With our weirdest sports on earth. I crack that Hornussen whip.
Okay. So I think for you, I would pick Michael Cera.
Okay. I'd love to hear the reason why. Because
he plays very good, like the subtle kind of funny, which you are like in public or with like people you don't know that much. But then he's got like the range to go deeper, like when you're in your, I don't know, amongst people that you feel more alive with, I guess, or more outgoing. That's the word, outgoing.
Okay, so you're not casting as a lookalike. I hope you're okay. I hope not.
No.
Thank you.
No, because you don't have curly hair, do you?
Absolutely not. We don't even have the same hair color.
No, you don't.
And I don't look a turtle.
So, yeah. Definitely not casting lookalikes. I'm just going with like some of the first names that pop into my head.
I get that. He would be able to deliver some one-liners and some jokes.
Yeah, some very Bobby sass.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. And now you.
I'm thinking of that girl from the band Haim.
Haim?
Yeah. They were recently in a movie called Mystery Pizza or something pizza.
Licorice Pizza.
Yeah, that Sarah. One. Licorice Pizza. And I haven't seen her act or anything, and she's young, but...
I mean...
I don't know. I don't know why her face keeps coming to my
face. I'm kind of disappointed that you're whitewashing yourself. You ain't gonna pick a Latina?
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't even... I've been in the Americas for way too long.
How do you say traitor in Spanish? Traitor to your culture and heritage.
Oh my God, I feel terrible. I feel horrendous. Okay, in that case, well, I mean, she's too pretty, but the show Jane the Virgin, the main actress is Gina Rodriguez. Gina Rodriguez.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I've been here too long.
All right. So
Gina Rodriguez, yeah. And then her co-star, Justin Baldoni, he would actually be a really good Bobby, too.
Okay, thank you. Because before you clarified, I was going to say it was some pretty good insight into your mind that you cast yourself as like a beautiful, gorgeous Latina. And then you think of me as Michael Cera. I will take Justin Baldoni.
Yeah, I think he's got really good range, too, but with the whole like comedy and serious and just like stealthiness.
Also, we just look more alike, you know, like I said earlier with the cartoon Bobby's World. White guy, brown dark eyes, hair. Dark hair.
He has a very light guy. I thought he was Latino at first, though, but he not.
Well, maybe we're gonna have to write a story about ourselves and then hope we can cast those two people.
That would be so cool, and then we could win an Emmy. Well,
Sarah, I am going to give, I think you accumulated about 30 points in today's game. I mean,
wait, for real, were you keeping score? Really?
Well, you got 10 points for shitting on that one program. You got many other points. You could accumulate a lot. I gave you some for remembering IMDb. So you absolutely will have beaten any listener today because you had knowledge that they were not privy to.
And that's how you win.
That was the end of the game, but I did want to give honorable mentions to shows such as Bob's Burgers, Bob the Builder, and SpongeBob SquarePants, because they're Bob's. And yeah, Linda does call her husband Bobby, but for the most part,
yeah, he does.
I'm not a 50-year-old overweight plumber, so I'm not Bob. I'm Bobby. I'm young.
You are Bobby.
And svelte. Bobby. And spry. Also,
and you like burgers?
Who doesn't? Also, a dishonorable mention to The Republic of Sarah, which was on the channel CW for only 3 months before it got canceled after one season. This is probably the first and last time you'll ever hear about it, so.
Yep.
There were a lot of other movies I could think of with, you know, Bobby and Sarah in the title. Like, the biggest one is probably Forgetting Sarah Marshall. But you know what?
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to discuss, because today was all about TV and Emmy Awards, apparently. This happened coincidentally, but Sarah, just about every single celebrity I mentioned in this episode has won an Emmy, or at least been nominated.
Whoa, that's really cool.
I mean, so it's got to be kind of easy, which means we have to end this episode and get to writing and acting on our own TV show so we can get some of that hardware.
Okay.
All right.
I like it. Thank you so much for listening.
And well, on that note, my name's Bobby.
And I'm Sarah.
And this has been some BS.
And this has been some BS. Catch you on the big screen.
Oh, that's a fantastic BS. Nice job. Although that's more about movies and this is TV, so. And,
well, it's also on a screen.
That's the...
Catch you on your laptop.
Well, now that doesn't work with the BS.
Oh, shit. I just realized big screen BS. Oh, my God.
You didn't even realize what you were doing. It's just, I guess, second nature
now.
No,
Bobby. Oh, man. Okay.